It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The healthcare picture is coming into focus.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Healthcare reform moves into high gear today as President Obama has a Rose Garden event. He's expected to plug the bill unveiled yesterday by House Democrats. It would insure nearly all Americans. It would cost more than $1 trillion. And here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman to tell us about it. He's with us live. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Bill.
So this is picking up speed. What's going on?
You know, it is. The White House has sort of stamped this urgent. They want a bill to the president before Congress's August recess. Members of Congress feel some pressure, too. They don't want to drag out voting on higher taxes or penalties on businesses and individuals that don't get their own health insurance. The sooner they get that over with, the better.
So the government wants to guarantee that all Americans get access to affordable health insurance. They want to pay for it with higher taxes and penalties. Tell us about that.
Well, right. This, of course, is the House Democrats' version. They would raise taxes and impose penalties, basically. So higher income taxes on the richest Americans, up to 5.5%, almost, if you earn over $1 million in gross income. Employer penalties. They would be penalized if they don't cover their workers. All but the very smallest employers would pay about 8% of payroll to the government. And if an individual refused an offer of affordable health care, they'd be charged about 2.5% of their income.
And surely this is going to face some opposition. Tell us about that.
Well, there's opposition in all quarters. The reaction from business groups yesterday was really sharp and quick. There was a lobbyist for the National Federation of Independent Business who said it would cost too much and has way too much government involvement. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, as it often does, is zeroing in on the tax hike part of this. They're saying that small business owners can't afford higher income taxes and that will stop them from growing their companies and hiring new workers.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Bill.
And in just a moment, if you have donated an organ, do you have a pre-existing health condition? That's coming up. First, when American companies report earnings, the world listens. Goldman Sachs, Intel, even Johnson & Johnson showed better than expected profits. European markets are up about 1% this morning. Asian markets even higher. Yesterday, the Dow added 27 points and closed at 8,359. The discount airlines are digging deep again. Today, Southwest and AirTran are offering one-way fares as low as $39. I bring this up because the major carriers report earnings today, starting with American Airlines. And as $39 fares might tell you, the airlines are struggling again. Here's Marketplace's Sam Eaton.
Last year, airline profits took a hit from high fuel prices. This year, it's the drop in business travel that's causing problems. Airlines typically get most of their revenue from business travel. Now, carriers have been forced to offer deep discounts to leisure travelers in order to fill seats. That's caused revenue to plummet 26%, according to the Air Transport Association. And that's fueling speculation that we could see a new wave of bankruptcies, reminiscent of those following 9/11. But aviation consultant Mike Boyd says those fears are overblown.
Very much like seeing a car on a railroad crossing and saying, boy, it's going to get hit by a train, assuming the driver won't be smart enough to get off of it. The airline industry is adjusting.
Boyd says major U.S. carriers are much more nimble than they used to be. They're better positioned to cut flights and ground jets. And then there are the new profit sources. Boyd says the fees for everything from a bottle of water to that extra bag now account for nearly 5% of the revenue at some carriers. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
As I mentioned, President Obama today will stand up for the health care plan offered by House Democrats. There are so many challenges in the healthcare system. One of them is the problem of pre-existing conditions. It can be hard to get healthcare coverage if you're already sick or if you've had a major surgery, even if you have donated an organ. I'm joined by Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Hi there.
If I donate an organ, do I then have a pre-existing health condition?
What's interesting is you just asked a very simple question to which you'd think there'd be a very simple answer, and yet there isn't. And I went out in search of that answer to find out, because right now we all know that people with pre-existing conditions are frequently denied coverage in the individual insurance market or face much higher premiums. But what about the good Samaritans out there who maybe have given up a kidney or part of their liver or maybe even a lung? Are they going to be penalized in some way for that fairly selfless act? And when I put that to all the major insurers, the answer I got consistently was, I don't know. This suggests that anyone who has donated an organ, even if they're living an entirely healthy life afterwards, and the data says they will, they are going to perhaps face penalties in the individual insurance market.
Well, we don't want to discourage organ donation, but as you say, it is a major surgery. What's the solution?
Well, that's an interesting thing. And also the insurers say, we don't want to discourage organ donation, but if that's the case, then you have to encourage it, or at the very least, make clear you're not going to penalize it. So the solution to this is to have a policy, a very transparent policy that says, if you have been an organ donor, this will not impact your rates or access to coverage in any way. But I go a step further than that. I think if the insurers and the healthcare industry want to encourage organ donation, and they say they do, why not reward this practice by, say, a 15% reduction in your premium for 5 years, for instance, or annual wellness checks that are covered by the insurer to make sure there are no complications from the transplant?
Are there other cases where private insurers say, oh, we guarantee we'll overlook a major surgery when it comes to deciding what to charge you, whether to cover you?
No, there are no such cases. On the other hand, one could say that the potential negatives to the insurer are mitigated by the enormous positives of people feeling that there is no great risk to putting their organs on the line in helping other people, which obviously is in the interest of insurers because that's going to be helping the system more. They just need to make it clear to people that this is their goal, as opposed to saying, well, we just want to reserve the right to cut back on coverage or raise rates for people who have given up a kidney or part of their liver.
LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, thank you.
Pleasure.
We'll have more about the healthcare moves coming up later today on Marketplace. I hope you can join us. Thank you for tuning in this morning. I'm Bill Radke in Los Angeles. Have a terrific Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.